بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه وبارك وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا أما بعد. The last time we discussed the beautiful name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala Al-Azim. Amongst the beautiful names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala Asma'ul Husna, one of the attributes, the sifat, the names of Allah Jalla Jalaluhu Al-Azim. Also to remember and understand that these names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah kept it for Himself. To reduce Himself to the creation. Otherwise, how will the creation know about Allah tabarak wa ta'ala? The creation, they understand certain things by the names. They know the value. Policeman understands who the policeman is. Saz, he knows. Different connotation. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is above all of this. Wara al-wara. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has... These attributes belong to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has revealed this to mankind to understand the greatness of Allah. You think that is great, that has azama, that has greatness and grandeur, because you can see it, Allah is beyond that also. Allah is al-azim, the most high, the most exalted, the most mighty. If you feel now that is really big, really great, like the mountains, or some president or prime minister, then for you to understand that that greatness that he's got within him also is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's only a mirror. Is that a reality? One day it is going to fade away. It is going to go away. But this azama and this azim ishan of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala is azali, will be forever. Was forever, will always be forever. Will never diminish. There'll be no kami, no deficiency. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants us to call unto him by his name and to recognize Allah by his attributes. And may Allah is al-azim, al-shakur, al-haleem. These are beautiful attributes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. With a yaqeen and conviction to come into our hearts. We don't know which name of Allah will catch the heart. Once he catches the heart, then hold on to it. As Hakim Sahib Rahimullah used to, in this beautiful way, used to say, if you want Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on your side, so to say. You want Allah to do your work for you. You want Allah to be with you. Then call on to him through his beautiful names. And then to call it in a beautiful manner. As Hakim Sahib would say also, we saw the Africans when he came. You see, you're very dry people. You hardly smile, you hardly joke, you hardly laugh. I'd say to you, I wonder how's your romance life also. Must be so dry. Therefore, he should tell also that Allah Ta'ala has blessed you with a PhD in romance. And the love of Allah, subhanahu wa ta'ala, and also when it comes to your families, Allah show muhabbat and love. So Zakim Sahib will say, Rahim wa ta'ala, call unto Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's beautiful names in a beautiful manner also. We might just make dua, Ya Azim, Ya Azim, no feeling. You call the wife like that also, she said, you have no feeling in you. Just call you with nothing inside you. But call you that muhabbat and that love. Because Allah loves to be loved. Allah wants to show His muhabbat and His love. Hazrat did explain also, that call unto Allah tabarak wa ta'ala, Ya Allah, Ya Rahman, Ya Rahim. Ya Allah, Ya Rahman, Ya Rahim. Ya Allah, Ya Rahman, Ya Rahim. رَبِّ اغْفِرْ وَرَحَمْ وَأَنْتَ خَيْرُ الرَّاحِمِينَ Say, call on, say, oh Allah will highly attract the attention of Allah. When you just say, Ya Rahman, Ya Rahim, رَبِّ اغْفِرْ وَرَحَمْ Say, dry. Say, put some beauty in it, put some feeling in it, put some love in it, muhabbat in it. Allah will see the love you have for Him. Call Him in that way also. Call on to Allah subhanahu. Sometimes you're sitting in the car, sometimes alone. As it will say, sometimes, just take out some time and call on to Allah like that. And see what Allah Ta'ala won't give you. That He remembered me. In such beautiful names of mine, in such a beautiful manner. Call unto Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then you see how Allah will come into the heart. The love of Allah will trickle into the heart. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is al-azim, the most exalted, the mighty. To understand how great is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, how mighty is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala states in the Quran Sharif, الَّذِي خَلَقَ سَبْعَ سَمَاوَاتٍ تِبَاقًا ما ترى في خلق الرحمن من تفاوت فارجع البصر هل ترى من فطور ثم ارجع البصر كرتين ينقلب اليك البصر خاسئا وهو حسير سوره الملك تبارك الذي listen to the translation الذي خلق Allah is that being who created the seven heavens سبع سماوات in the seven heavens in layers Allah created it طباقا ما ترى You will not find any disharmony. You will not find any disharmony in the creation of Ar-Rahman. Allah created it. The most merciful. How beautifully, what perfection Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala designed the entire earth and the skies. Then look again. Allah said, look again. Do you see any deficiency? You find any problem in it? Engineering now, sometimes you fall to something, makes a mistake. Insan is insan. Allah is a khaliq, he's the makhluq. Allah's design is perfect. Allah's design and engineering is perfect. Allah says, the ثُمَّ ارْجِعِ الْبَصَرَ كَرَّتَيْنِ. Continue looking. Your gaze will return to you. Continue looking, your gaze will return to you. Unsuccessful and exhausted. You won't find any deficiency in the creation of Allah. Absolutely perfect. Allah Ta'ala made the skies. No need for maintenance plan also. One color, no need for maintenance plan, there's no need to paint, there's no pillars. The entire sky is solid. The first he didn't say, the sky is something which is absolutely solid. Allah has kept it there. No pillar whatsoever, Allah is holding it in mid-air. In this verse, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala states that there is no disharmony or incoherence in the system. There's perfection. There's perfection. He has not left, due to His mercy and kindness, the universe and all that is within it, as it is. Allah didn't leave it to us that you take care of it. Allah said, I'll take care of it. You just enjoy my ni'mas and bounties and understand my ma'rifat and recognize me in all these beautiful things around you. All function with such precision and regularity which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has established and fixed. Man should ponder over his own creation of your anfusikum. Afala tubsirun. Allah says, one is around you. Wa shamsi wa duhaha wal qamari idha talaha. This is a style of Allah Ta'ala calls towards Himself. They look at all His heavenly bodies, how I created this. Look at it. Study it. And see how perfect it is. How Allah Ta'ala is everything moving in His orbit. There's nothing that is crashing in mid-air. Sometimes we have an aviation also. Recently, there were two planes that crashed in mid-air. But how sophisticated computers and everything else, co-pilots and everything. Then to insan is insan. Then to insan is still insan. Human is going to make mistakes. He's made of mistakes and forgetfulness. He's made from bilkhata'i wa nisyan. Mistakes and forgetfulness. He will make mistakes, he will forget. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, لا تأخذه سنة ولا نوم. Allah does not slumber, does not sleep. ولا يؤوده حفظهما. Protecting and taking care of the skies and the earth doesn't tire Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. There's so much happening right now. We get tired of thinking about it. Nothing tires Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So ponder over his own creation. If any person saw a child being formed in the womb of its mother, then he cannot imagine that this child being developing in a dark enclosure will one day become a president, king or doctor. Little child, what does he know? So ma'asum, Allah Ta'ala brought him into this world, la ta'alamun la shay'a. You knew nothing whatsoever. More than that, nobody even spoke about you. The time came upon you, lam yakun shay'an madhkura. Allah says, you are absolutely nothing. Nobody even knew that you were going to exist. What name you going to have attached to you? What is going to be your taqdeer? Nothing. Absolutely weak. Insan is weak. And how beautifully Hazrat Jibril Masihullah Khan Sahib explains Rahmatullah Alayh. He says, to understand your reality. Allah Ta'ala give me the reality also. He said, before you came into this world, you were non-existent. You were nothing. Nobody cared about you. Nobody worried about you. Nobody feared you. And after you, your death also will be non-existent. Dead. Nobody will fear you, no one will take care of you, no one will worry about you. See, that is your two realities already. The third reality is what's in between. The little existence that you are enjoying also in this world is through the barakat of Allah Ta'ala giving you that life. It's nothing of your own being, nothing whatsoever. You're just a drop. From that one drop, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala took out the material of the skull which is so hard. The same material Allah Ta'ala took out the eyelids which is so soft. Allah Ta'ala took out the material of the hands and the fingers. And on that Allah Ta'ala took out the material of the nail which is so hard. Then on the face itself the cheeks are soft. Allah Ta'ala made the teeth so hard. All from one drop. All from one drop, different hardness, thickness, softness, color, texture, feeling, senses. All from one drop, subhanAllah. So Allah Ta'ala Himself praises Himself. Tabarakallahu ahsan al-khaliqin. Allah says, the barakat belongs to me, you should be praising me. I'm the best of creators. Who can create like me? One drop, Allah means so much. This entire insan, before this you are nothing. After this you will be nothing. Your entire existence belongs to me completely. Hazrat Ji will say, compare your existence to wajibul wujud. Allah Jalla Jalaluhu was completely in existence, has brought everything to existence. Look at His existence, in reality you are nothing. You are nothing. Can you say really you exist compared to the existence of Allah? Because your existence depends upon His kun fayakun. If he has to withdraw it, finish, withdraw. Same time, insan is gone. If you understand this, the first step he says to get the recognition of Allah, the muhabbat of Allah, is fana'iyat, to annihilate yourself. That I am nothing whatsoever, whatever I have, the tawfiq, ability to make each sajda, to make each rakat, Allah commanded, I didn't do. Allah Ta'ala gave me the ability to do. So when I'm performing that salah also, is it that I am performing salah for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Ya Allah, you allowed me to perform it. You allowed me to perform it. On a deep point recently, when we read Durood Sharif, today's Thursday night also, we read Salawat, Allah al-Habib sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So, we say read 300 Durood Sharif minimum. Then if you read Kathir, plenty, read 3,000. Person may read 1,000, 2,000, 3,000 Duroods. And we hear the virtues. Everybody said, Allahumma salli ala Muhammad. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sends His special mercies upon Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But here you should not even think for a moment that your Durood Sharif in any way is benefiting Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. It's benefiting you. Now we get so much over the Durood Sharif, I said so much for him. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala doesn't need a Durood to raise Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. Allah doesn't need it. That Durood is for you. Not for Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. You going to read it, Allah is going to exalt you. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's 10 mercies is going to fall upon you. So even your durood upon Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam is no favor to him. He's not going to benefit him. Without your durood, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will still send his special mercies upon Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. So your durood sharif and your istighfar and your tasbih, Fatimi and third kalima, all these are for our own benefit. Is that for the benefit of Allah? Allah has plenty of malaika to praise Him, to make sajda, to make ruku, and to Him the praises of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. All this what we are doing, sometimes we might feel that performing such a namaz, Allah will become so happy, like it's a benefit of Allah. No, it's a benefit to you. Allah will like how you perform your salah. Allah will see you making, and that too, that ability, the consciousness to perform the salah is like that, is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah Ta'ala gave you the consciousness. That is why Hazrat Ji says that the first step to recognize Allah is to annihilate yourself. Fana'iyat. Ya Allah, I am nothing. Compared to your wujud and your existence, Ya Allah, what am I? I am nothing whatsoever. Whatever I have, whatever I understand, my entire brain, my mind, my knowledge, whether it be a dunya, you see a person is an astute businessman. Now he can turn things around. It's from Allah. Nothing from his own self. Allah Ta'ala gave it to him. Be an alim also. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allowed him. Wa ibadat also. Great abid. Great worshipper. That to Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. So, fi anfusikum. Allah says, look within yourself and see how weak you are. Look at your weaknesses. But see how Allah Ta'ala takes care of everything. And in all of that, recognize Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So, when you see a child, how the child is formed in the womb of the mother. And the dark enclosure and three darknesses. Well, one day become a president, become a king or a doctor in the womb of the mother, the child cannot hear, see or speak. Cannot hear, see or speak. However, when this child emerges into the world, he forgets Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There's a hadith, a Qudsi, Allah Ta'ala mentions also, that when the child comes into the world, Allah Ta'ala took care of him prior to that in the womb of his mother. Allah Ta'ala had the kidneys there, the liver there, it was like his pillow and his cushions. Allah Ta'ala fed him, Allah Ta'ala took care of him. Couldn't breathe in there, but Allah Ta'ala had the whole system conducive for him to be created and live in there for that 9 months. Then he came into the world. Allah Ta'ala says, you cried, and I put your rosy and sustenance in your mother's breasts, and she fed you. On a cold day it was warm, on a hot day it was cool. Allah Ta'ala regulated the temperature for the child also. And as the child grew up, Allah Ta'ala says, then I strengthened your legs and your arms and your hands, then you begin to crawl and begin to walk. Then you began to speak, and then you moved on, and you became stronger and stronger. Then you built your muscles up, etc. Then Allah Ta'ala says, then you forgot me. Then you forgot me. You just ran away. Before that you cried, I sent your sustenance for you via your mother. Now when you grew up, and now you got your own strength, in our words now, you stop crying, you made the others cry. Then you forgot about Allah's mind. Now it's my style, and my way, and my life, and I'll do how I want, and why it's so difficult, it's why Allah Ta'ala's command is like that, why can't you have integration and co-education, and why do I have to make parada for my brother-in-law and my sister? Now you're questioning Allah. When you were weak, then you had no questions. Now Allah Ta'ala gave you a little bit of strength, now you know question the Creator. When a Christian, they create a why like that. Allah says, look at the insan. How ungrateful he is. How ungrateful he is. That I gave him his strength, everything he has in his body, and now he's questioning my laws. So Allah Ta'ala says, look within yourself and you'll find Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The body of a newborn baby or even a grown up person is made up of trillions of cells. Till today, how they study in the human body? They can't get to the bottom of it or to the top of it. How this insan is moving, how this whole bloodstream and his entire system within him, how the whole thing is operating, they still can't get to the top of it. These cells are like bricks and can only be seen by a microscope. No building on earth, not even the highest skyscrapers are made from so many bricks. How Allah Ta'ala made this insan. Gradually over 9 months Allah Ta'ala formed this insan in the womb of the mother. The different organs of the body, example, eyes, heart, nose, liver, brains, etc., all derive from this one cell. But most astonishing is they all perform the unique functions, all different. Who has done all of this? This is through the power of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. An amazing matter which can be seen is that every limb of man's body has been prepared on its most suitable place. Example, if the eyes are on the feet, then seeing would have been difficult. الَّذِي خَلَقَكَ فَسَوَّاكَ فَعَدَلَكَ Allah Ta'ala made you in perfection. Where to place the eyes, where to place the ears, how beautiful insan is. Allah Ta'ala didn't make now that your eyes are here and the nose is there. And now if you smell something, then you need a mirror all the time to get it by the nose. Allah Ta'ala made everything in perfection. How the legs are out, Allah Ta'ala didn't make one long and one short that you got to walk like that. But Allah Ta'ala made, yes, some people Allah test them. But more than often Allah Ta'ala makes everything in perfection. Insan, how Allah Ta'ala made him. This is the qudrat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In these few things Allah Ta'ala wants us to ponder and understand the might and the power of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. How Allah Ta'ala made this insan and how beautifully Quran says in ayatihi in khalaqakum min turab. From the signs of Allah, Allah is saying, amongst my signs. Every sign leads towards the power and the ma'rifat of Allah. Study the signs of Allah. Wa min ayatihi in khalaqakum min turab. There was one doctor that wrote a book, medical book, on the formation of the child in the mother's womb. So non-Muslim. So he wrote over this 9 months how the child is formed. And then he mentioned in the book also, is anyone that has any more information, we have already studied everything about the formation of the child. If anyone has any more information which we doubt, then they can send it through. So he started explaining the formation of the baby and the child from inception, when the mother falls pregnant. From then now he began. So a Malaysian Muslim doctor sent him all the ayat of Quran, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala begins the creation of insan, not from the womb of the mother. Allah ta'ala says, خَلَقَكُم مِّن تَرَابٍ Allah made you from sand. Made you from sand, what does it mean? That from the sand the crops came, the grass came. That is where now the animals ate from. The cow, the sheep, the goat. You sorted the animal, it became food for you. That food turned into blood. The blood turned into semen. From where Allah Ta'ala started. Right from the beginning of it. No insan's mind will go to there. Then Allah says, ثُمَّ إِذَا أَنْتُمْ بَشَرٌ تَنْتَشُرُونَ Then suddenly you spread out in the world. So when he read all his ayat over here, Allah Ta'ala explains in the Quran Sharif, then he came to the conclusion that only the creator of man will know these things. Nobody else will know it. No human mind will go to all these points over here. Upon that he became a Muslim. That this only the creator can tell you. And who it was revealed to? An unlettered Nabi. Unlettered Nabi. They had no scanning machine. They had no scanning machine, had no degree to study the soil, to study the animals. But this was wahi from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This Hazrat says, ponder a little bit and you'll understand, Ya Allah, how great you are. Ya Allah, how you made the entire insan. An insan has become so busy in his own life, his own personal life, there's no time for the creator. It's just the creation and the creation and the creation. So the beautiful names of Allah, we have to pull away sometime. Think, Ya Allah, how you made everything? How you created everything? Look at the insan, he just exploited the earth, exploited iron and steel, and he made cars. Then he made it fly in the air. Then he put it underwater, made it sail underwater. That wasn't his own design. This all now he borrowed and he stole from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. How he saw the ducks and he saw the animals, the seals and the eels going into the water, he designed it from there. We saw the woodpecker, he designed the helmet. How are they pecking on the wood? Nothing happens to the brain. Now Allah Ta'ala made inside. What strength, what power. With whole head now, he makes a hole in that, in the tree trunk. And there they studied it. What's in the brain, what's in the head of that woodpecker? How to design now a helmet for cycling or for motorbiking. So insan only borrowed from Allah. The prototype is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. How the aerodynamics of the birds, etc. From there now insan is still trying to perfect it. But Allah Ta'ala's creation, how Allah Ta'ala made it, is optimum. No insan can match it. Allah Ta'ala give us ma'rifat, inshallah. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. We're discussing one of the illnesses, ruhani, spiritual illnesses of anger, which is a killer disease. Anger is a killer disease. Who does it kill? Number one, it kills the people around us. Own family, own children, own wife. They're the first ones. Person gets angry all the time. And the people suffer the most are the own family members, who are most kind to him. More than often they are kind to him, they look after him. But he gets angry, he's snappy. And he says, a hungry man is an angry man. Shall he say, a hungry man must be a sabir man. Ya sabr, have patience. Everything will happen on its time. Don't get angry. La taghdab. Nabi Ali Salatu Wasalam said, don't get angry. Oh young man, you're getting married, don't get angry. Don't get angry. Don't lose your head. Remain cool and calm. As we mentioned, now you, what is your existence? Now you make a little bit of noise and show you're angry. In the court of Allah, you're nothing. Now you show some anger. Allah Ta'ala, once he can silence you one time, but Allah still gives you respite. And we see the people around you suffering. The person himself is suffering also. He's unhappy. Then the wife, then the children. So in a hadith, Al-Ma'lusi rahmatullah alayhi has quoted four ahadith while explaining this ayat of Quran Sharif. Those that swallow the anger, they drink the anger up and they forgive the people around them. So he discusses four ahadith while explaining the ayat of Quran, because the tafsir of the ayat can only be made from the noble explanations of the ahadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The first hadith in regards to anger. مَنْ كَظَمَ غَيْظًا وَهُوَ قَادِرٌ عَلَىٰ أَيُّ نَفِذَهُ وَمَنْ كَظَمَ غَيْظًا وَهُوَ يَقْدِرُ عَلَىٰ إِنْفَاذِهِ مَلَأَ اللَّهُ تَعَالَىٰ قَلْبَهُ أَمْنًا وَإِيمَانًا جَمْعُ الصَّغِيرُ. The person who contains his anger, in spite of having the capacity to act upon it, he can execute his anger, he can show. The person is angry upon is weaker than him, physically. So he can execute his anger, he can show his anger. But then to what he does, he contains his anger, doesn't get angry. Why? He's living in the consciousness of Allah. I'm getting angry. If Allah gets angry with me, so he cools his anger. Ya Allah, how can I show anger? Anger is a direct, they say, offshoot and child of pride. And person has pride, will never enter into Jannah. He won't smell the fragrance of Jannah also. What is pride? Pride now was born from there is anger. What is anger? Don't tramp my toes. Don't tell me anything. What is it? That is pride. Why are you going to tell me? More the wife will say, you get more angry. Why are you nagging? Telling you the right thing. Sometimes the ustaz, sometimes the sheikh, somebody else is telling you. Sometimes you're a business partner, sometimes you're a parent is telling us, then we're getting angry. Person regards himself to be nothing, then I'm nothing. You can tell me what you want to. His heart is connected to Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. So person who contains his anger, in spite of having the capacity to act upon it, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will endow his heart with iman and tranquility. Allah will give him tranquility of the heart and iman. Outwardly he might seem that now he is controlling his anger. Yes, he is. But what Allah will give him in the heart? Allah will fill his heart with iman, belief in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, consciousness of Allah and tranquility. Outwardly he looks like he is very angry, but Allah is filling the heart with peace and contentment and tranquility of his heart. Thus one who is angered by someone and has the means at hand to take revenge, to insult or beat the person, but desists from doing so solely due to the fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and forgives the person, Allah grants him iman along with peace and tranquility. This now, as you mentioned, be in the business, be it at home. And now if I'm more common in the road rage, somebody cuts you, how angry a person gets, what language will come out. Children will hear it also. So at that time, now to control the anger. Don't say anything. Allah will and keep this hadith in mind, Ya Allah, I'm controlling it for your pleasure. Allah will give you iman. Allah will give you iman yaqeen. Allah will give you tranquility of the heart. This is the blessed prize of controlling anger. The Buzrugs have explained that one who swallows the bitter draft of anger has this anger converted to nur within him. Even carnal desires also. As the Hakim Sahib would say, Rahmatullah Alayhi, person stabs the heart with a dagger of taqwa. Doesn't make amal, doesn't fulfill his passion, haram passions, his greed, his anger. So every time now he suppresses it, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sees the sabr of the heart. The heart is now, is restless because it wants to act upon. You see, when it comes to insan, Allah ta'ala put in him first his animal qualities. It's there. Therefore the effort has to be made now for him to become a human. A human is not what we just see around us, that I'm a human being. We can say we're human beings, but a human being has a character, has akhlaq. How to speak, how to talk. The Tanwi will say, Rahmatullah Ali, that the whole effort of my tasawwuf is to make a person a human. To make him a, not to make him a buzruk, not to make him a pious person. He become pious by reading salah, Quran, dhikr, but people around him are getting hurt. These long rakats of namaz, but his car is blocking outside. Say, what namaz is that? He's reading Quran so loudly in the masjid, people are being disturbed. You say, I'm reading Quran Sharif, but you're disturbing somebody. Tasbihat you're making, disturbing others in the house. Now you come with a loud zikr. Oh, he's making so much of wuzu. He's making ghusl in the wuzu khana. Making ghusl in the wuzu khana. And he said, no, making wuzu. Now, salah started, he's making miswak. Taking his time with the miswak. He said, sunnat. But namaz started already. I should forego that. You see, when you become a buzruk, doesn't mean that you will absolutely safe from your harm. That's your own piety. He said, my effort is to become, make people humans. Make them human beings, others are not hurt, and through being human beings, you get the love of Allah. Allah will make you a buzruk. That through your existence, nobody is harmed. Everyone lives in peace and harmony. Yes, something haram is taking place, and you have authority, then you've got to stop it. Then to how do you stop it like a human? He said, we'll teach you from Quran and Hadith how to be. Nabi Ali salam was a real human being. Allah Ta'ala has given him the sifat. So every time a person now will not act upon his carnal desires or the animal instincts within himself, then there's cash benefits. One is credit. Allah will give you Jannat, like is mentioned over here now. Person controls his anger, Allah will fill his heart with iman and tranquility and peace. Other Hadith Sharif says also Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will grant him much more other benefits that will be coming ahead. So you might think now that all that is udar, nobody likes credit. Allah will give you cash. Where all this now will be converted into nur, Allah will make nur in the heart. Then the muhabbat of Allah, this peace, then somebody will carry on trying to irritate you. Doesn't get angry. You can't make him angry. Such a cool person, it just passes him. His cool mizaj, completely. Yes, Hazrat says not that you become gadai ki tara, like a donkey, don't get angry also. Got to get angry the right time also, for the right reasons. Together with this, another tafsir of anger is provided. Anger for the protection of one's deen, for the implementation of the specifics of deen, and for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, are exceptions because Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam used to become extremely angered on such occasions, to the extent that his noble countenance used to become red. For the sake of deen. When abghadha lillah wa ahabba lillah. Hadith Sharif says, a person who becomes angry for the sake of Allah, and he loves for the sake of Allah. Now, when to become angry for the sake of Allah, that too we have to learn. So sometimes we hear these terms, we get angry for the sake of deen, get angry for the sake of Allah. But we don't know when to do it. Sometimes at home for the wrong reasons. The wife will say something, get angry. No. Jais me to get angry now. This is now anger for Allah's sake. Because this is wrong. But then you do your masti, she says, now you're not getting angry. You're doing your own hobbies, your own thing. Spending money on your own hobbies. Now you should be getting angry because israf taking place. They say, as a pomegranate was squeezed on his face, Nabi Ali salatu wasalam become red. So angry, the commands of Allah being broken. So for the protection of deen, yes, the commands of Allah being broken, now to become angry. It is thus but natural to be angered at disobedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. One is now somebody else is breaking the command of Allah. The child is breaking the command of Allah. How to get angry with him? He's eating with the left hand. He didn't do bismillah. Entered the bathroom with the left leg. Now you're teaching him. Now how to get angry? To what extent to get angry? That we have to learn. with the wife, with the children, when to get, how to get angry, with the staff in the shop. But more than that, to get angry with myself also, when I break the command of Allah. I did something wrong, but then I don't get angry. Somebody else did something wrong, then I get very angry. Now I slipped up in life, I made a mistake, as Zakim Sahib says, now get angry at yourself. If you don't use your anger the right place, at the right time, then it will come out in the wrong person at the wrong time. Because anger has to be exhibited. All these negative qualities that Allah Ta'ala has put within man attributes, they may be negative. Example, anger, jealousy, carnal desires, etc. But they also have benefits too. If they use it in the proper manner, then it's ibadat. Person has jealousy, so to say. So he must convert it into envy. What does it mean? Somebody has some talent in deen, then he should be jealous over him. What kind of jealousy? Allah, give him more and give me also. Not that I have nothing in me. I don't wear anything for anyone. Said, no, he should feel. The person has some talent, has some deeny thing in him. Subhanallah, ya Allah. Bless him more and give me also. Person has carnal desires in the right place, to the right with his wife, at the right time. Then there's reward. Allah Ta'ala is going to give him sawab for that. With anger also, the right time, the right place. Doesn't use it upon himself. He must fajr namaz. Then he's going to get angry today. His head will go. But he goes in the wrong place. Get angry with the staff, get angry with the wife. The anger will come out. That anger is supposed to come out on yourself. Why you must fajr salah? Now penalize yourself. Now read that 8 rakat salat to tawbah. 8 rakat, as the Kim Sahib would say, now you must punish yourself. Get angry with yourself and rebuke yourself also. Rebuke yourself also. Then how you must your namaz with takbir ula? How did you sleep through namaz? What is wrong with you? You shout to yourself, sit in the car and talk to yourself. People nowadays are talking to themselves, they've got their earpiece on. So they're talking to himself, talking to somebody. If you talk to yourself, they won't think anything wrong with you. The thing now, you're talking to somebody else. So shout to yourself in the car that how could you take your name? Yusuf, how could you do such a thing? How could you miss your namaz? What is wrong with you? How much Allah hasn't given to you? And tell yourself, now I'm going to punish you. And then go to the masjid. Make your wudu. Read the iraqa salatul tawbah and cry to Allah. Take a sadqa, 200 rand, 300 rand, 100, that pains the pocket. To get angry on yourself. Now you go home, you be humble. How can you get angry with her? I'm a gunegar myself. But now, I didn't wake up fajr, I shouted, why did you set the alarm? Why didn't you get me up? You the man of the house, you the imam sahab. Now you shout in the muqtadi. Your wuzu broke, you tell him to make wuzu. Your wuzu broke, you tell him the muqtadi, go make wuzu. So all is upside down. All dunya, that's why as the Thani used to say, they become true humans. So get angry upon yourself. You made any mistake, you said the wrong thing, you hurt anyone, you did something wrong, you displeased Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, now get angry and shout yourself, rebuke yourself. You lost it at home a little bit, you got angry at home, you said the wrong things, you hurt the wife, now you go into the masjid, now shout yourself. How? Why you got angry for what? What's wrong with you? Why are you getting angry? What's the problem? Allah is still giving you so much. Now you made her upset, now she's sitting quietly at home, she's crying, the children are crying, and you're carrying on normal, now you're going to go have some coffee with their friends. This has a tummy saying, are you insan? Are you a human? Humans don't act like that. Humans, they've got some feelings in them. They will get angry in yourself now. And punish yourself. Don't go have the coffee. Sorry, I can't make it tonight. I can't. What do you say? Hey, I better go and chill out with the friends. No. Say, punish yourself. I won't have it today. Why I got angry today? Otherwise, the anger won't go away. Lifelong it will continue. Lifelong it will continue. And the mother has to coach the children also. She don't ask Abba now. You're not in the right mood. See, when it's cold, it's calm, things are alright, then ask him. Just like a zoo that way. You should be any time going to ask him. You can approach him any time. Not see what his mood is, what kind of day he had, whether but now he's tired. Father in the house should be a jib in the ishtima also. How is one of the ulama explained about Nabi alayhi salatu salam when he used to come in the house. Sayyid Sulaiman Nadi rahmah wrote the whole kitab on Aisha radiallahu anha and explained, she explains, Nabi alayhi salatu salam, how used to be in the house. He said, Bashashat kasat. He used to enter the house with a big open chest, smiling and laughing. But Aisha was a young girl radiallahu anha. And the demise of Nabi alayhi salatu salam, she was only 18 years old. So you can imagine now 15, 16, 17, 18. Alright, you ask the youngsters now, who's 20, 21, he's got a young brother at 12, 14, 15. How intolerant is with his young brother? Can't handle him. Alright. Your Nabi Ali Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is a young wife, and he's a Nabi of Allah. How refined, subhanAllah. But what tolerance, what muhabbat, what love. She would explain that he would come in the house, and how he would play with his grandson Hassan and Hussein radiallahu anhuma. Then now he used to go into all fours like a horse, and he used to jump on his back, and he used to ride him around in the room. This is now the master of the world, both the worlds, Sayyidul Kunin, alayhi salatu wasalam. So the night I came home, I had a heavy day, hard day. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, he mentioned Shamail, Tawirul Ahzan, Da'imul Fikra, always in some thoughts of fikr, some concern, ya Allah, what will happen to the ummah, what will happen to the... It was always there in the heart. When he entered the house, demeanor was different. Shouldn't be because of my now own concern for the ummah and my constant cry in my heart that all are said around me. That's my level left. I will deal with my own fikr in my heart. But the ones around me should enjoy me the best. Azwaj Mutahharat and the grandchildren, etc. Reading Salah, they should go in and out from in between. Nabi Ali Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was in Sajda and they go in between him. And they jump over his back and they come again. Jump over his back and come again. Hazrat says in the Bayan, he says, imagine now one of our children do that. He says, sure. Such concentration we have. We might grab that fellow one time and throw him. Tell the wife, you know, just keep him one side. I can't read namaz properly. He says, subhanAllah, what a buzruk you became. How many qazai umri you got? You got so much qazai umri, one to a namaz now. He says, so down to it like nothing he was. Absolutely. No anger. Yes, but the same Nabi alayhi salatu salam is mentioned when he used to be at home, he was so down to earth, they could just tell him anything, speak to him. When Azan went, Aisha would say like he never knew us. He would never knew, like he never knew us. His face would change color. And Azan is going, Allah is calling me. Now Allah is calling me. Night was different. Now I'm rushing to Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. But ours is different, you see. That's how we have to learn to become humans. At home now, how to be real husbands, how to be fathers to our children, how to be a true believer. Now when to run to the masjid. Allah is calling, now we leave everything, now we are running. The family don't see this. They have everything is backfiring. Azan is giving, we still sitting. But you see, you got no qadr, no value for the name of Allah. So the wife will have no value for us too. With the imams of the house, we don't have value for Azan, and no value now to move towards the masjid. Children will see also. There's no value for Allah's name. Father just sat over here. He slept with the namaz also. So there's no value to it. So the life will come out like that also. So Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam will become angry for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But as we mentioned, for us to become angry upon ourselves. Not only the husband, but the wife also. For the wife also, there's a limit to her behavior in the house. Respect for the husband. Now I'm going to stop talking now. You can see the husband is getting angry. Now you're pushing it, he's making sabr. That's the cutoff point also. The wife also has to understand. Just like how the jannat for the husband is under the mother's feet. Jannat of the wife now is in the pleasure of the husband. It's also a cutoff point for her now. Now you're going to destroy your jannat also. You're going to continue speaking in this manner and raise your voice, etc. Yes, you can get angry, but you understand. Woman is emotional, but there's a cutoff point also. Now hold on. One is your natural emotion. Like man has natural passion also, carnal desires, but he can't go into haram now. I will say, what are you doing? You can't do these haram things. So he's got to control it. The wife also, as we say, man has a lot of passion, woman has a lot of anger, emotions. So we got to curtail his passion and carnal desires within Shariat. And she's got to control her emotions also within Shariat. Can't go beyond that. Now that's sinful. For her now to raise her voice so loud and to call him names or to pick on his family, and that's now beyond. That's haram now, that's oppression, that's zulm. There's sin, there's kabira, major sin. To suspect that, yes, she can be a bit emotional, she can say what she wants, we allow her to say it, but now she must know there's a cut-off point also. Beyond this is haram now. That anger, that level of anger now is also haram. So for her also, she's also going to understand, now that he's free now, the husband now he must sit quietly, and now she can shout one way. No, she also has the limitations. She has to understand also within Sharia, to what level now she can address the husband and how to address him. The sawuf is also for the ladies too. For their tarbiyat also. For them to understand how to become true humans within their house. So those things that are natural instincts in women, like for example, you have emotions, etc. For them to curtail and control it will make them humans, will make them pious. For man now to control his anger, which has natural also, passions he has natural more than woman also. Now to control that also, that will turn into nur of taqwa. Wara also, now she's going to get the nur of taqwa. And every time she's going to get angry, then she's going to carry on nagging, and then she's going to exceed the bounds, then she's going to go into sin, and call him names, and then few days will go like that. That's absolute sin. That is not permissible. This is a cut-off point for that also now. Husband has to understand, listen to her, and she has herself as a cut-off point. So we both develop our nur of taqwa together. These things will happen in the house, but they are cut-off points for everything in the house. Allah Ta'ala give us understanding, inshallah.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم فاذكروني أذكركم أنا جليس من ذكرني لا إله إلا الله محمد رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم لا إله إلا الله 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 محمد رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم لا إله إلا الله 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 محمد رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم الله جل جلاله تعالى شأنه الله 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 Allah, 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 جل جلاله
الحمد لله رب العالمين والعاقبة للمتقين والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين اللهم لك الحمد كله ولك الشكر كله لأن أحصي ثناء عليك أنت كما أثنيت على نفسك اللهم صل وسلم على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم ربنا ظلمنا أنفسنا وإن لم تغفر لنا وترحمنا لنكونن من الخاسرين رب اغفر وارحم أنت خير الراحمين يا أرحم الراحمين يا أكرم الأكرمين وكريم Rahim Allah. Ya Allah, forgive us for all our sins, O my Allah. The sins of the past, the sins of the present, O my Allah. The sins knowingly, unknowingly, during the day, during the night, in secrecy, in privacy, in public, O my Kareem Rahim Allah. Forgive us for all our sins. Remove the dirt and the filth of the heart, O my Allah. Grant us your azama, Ya Allah, grant us your grandeur, your muhabbat, your love, your closeness, O my Allah. Ya Allah, grant us your ma'rifat, O Kareem Rahim Allah. Grant us your consciousness, O my Allah. True love for Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Ya Allah, save us from all the spiritual maladies, O my Allah. From anger, from pride, from jealousy. Ya Allah, all the haram maladies, O my Allah. Ya Allah, save us, O my Allah. Make our complete Islam, Ya Allah. Reform our hearts, Ya Allah. And every body part of ours, O my Allah. Our eyes, our ears, our tongues. Ya Allah, make us true humans, O my Allah. Make us your true slaves, O my Allah. Make us true ummatis of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Ya Allah, bless us with all these beautiful sifat, O my Allah. Bless our families, our wives and our children. Ya Allah, our parents, Ya Allah, our entire families in the ummat of Nabi alayhi salatu wa salam. Ya Allah, accept us for the khidmat of deen, O my Allah. Save us from haram, O my Kareem, Rahim Allah. Ya Allah, keep us in your obedience, in your rahmat and maghfirat, Ya Kareem, Ya Rahim. Ya Allah, keep us with iman and take us with iman in the condition you are happy with us. Rabbana taqabbal minna innaka anta as-sami'u al-alim. Wa tub alayna innaka anta at-tawwabu ar-rahim. Subhana rabbika rabbil izzati amma yasifun wa salamun ala al-mursalin. Alhamdulillahi rabbil alamin. Amin. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdika.